great to be here. Thanks for having me, Ben. I've really enjoyed being able to get stuck into John 14 and 16, and I found it a great encouragement for me personally to reflect and consider more deeply on who the Holy Spirit is and the way in which we should interact with Him, guided by John's Gospel. I'm just going to start by praying and then we'll get stuck into it. Would you join with me as I pray? Lord God, we give you great thanks for your goodness and mercy to us. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your son, the Lord Jesus. And thanks for the chance we have now to consider your words. Lord, thank you for the gift of your spirit, illuminating the truth of who you are, Lord Jesus, to our hearts and minds. We just ask now, Lord, that you would quiet our hearts and minds and help us lean in and listen to you. Please help me to share your words faithfully. And we just ask that as a result of hearing your word this morning, we would continue to strive to be people who faithfully follow you. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Let me start with a question. Have you ever had to say goodbye to someone important to you? It's part of life, right? Sometimes it can be quite light, saying goodbye before a trip. Maybe to family or friends going away for a few days or a weekend. But sometimes it can be heavier, leaving a community you love. And sometimes it can be deeply painful, saying goodbye to someone whose life has come to an end, a family member or a friend. Goodbyes can leave us unsettled, a little lost. Because when someone significant leaves, we wonder, what now? And yet here's what I find interesting. Even when someone is no longer physically present with us, their presence can still shape you. You hear their voice in your head, remembering the words that they shared with you. You remember their words at just the right moment, or maybe just after the right moment. You make a decision and think, the way that I'm acting here honours them. I remember them. They would have told me to do this. In our passage this morning, we're going to see something far more greater than memory or influence. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples he's going away. Rightly, they're unsettled, confused, afraid. But notice Jesus doesn't just say, you'll only have my memory. He says, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Not just influence, not just memory, but his very presence through the Holy Spirit. But let's set the scene. In the preceding chapter, in chapter 13, we've seen Jesus taking his disciples to a house during the Passover festival. And Passover in Jerusalem is a huge event. The city fills with people. The atmosphere is electric. Jews gather to celebrate the redemption they've experienced as a nation. But alongside celebration, there's tension. The Roman presence in Jerusalem is on high alert. An influx of people means an influx of potential trouble. And it's into this moment, a time of celebration and tension, that Jesus, the one described in John's Gospel as the Lamb of God, takes his closest followers, the 12, with him into a house to celebrate the Passover meal. Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet, a powerful demonstration of servant-hearted, sacrificial leadership. And he's saying, this is what it looks like to be part of my family and my kingdom, having a posture of sacrificially loving others. But chapter 13 also reveals something deeply unsettling. Judas Iscariot has left to betray Jesus. Jesus tells his disciples he will be leaving them in a little while. And you can imagine how that lands. These men have seen Jesus do incredible, miraculous things. They've placed their hope in him. Now they're afraid, worried, confused. Jesus can't leave. He's the Messiah. Chapter 14 opens with Jesus' words, reminding them amongst how they're feeling, do not be troubled. Jesus is going ahead to prepare a place for them, a place in his Father's house. And what Jesus is doing is reshaping their understanding of what it means to be the Messiah. To suffer, be rejected, die, and then be raised to life. The opening verse in the passage we're looking at this morning, John 14:16, Jesus shows why they don't need to be troubled. I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And this morning, we're going to explore who the Holy Spirit is and how this helper works. So look with me, John 14, verse 16. We're told there, verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. So who is this advocate, this helper, who is the Holy Spirit? The word translated into advocate here is the Greek parakletos. And this is a really interesting word. It's only used in John's writings, four times in his gospel and once in his letters. And it means one who comes alongside, a helper, counselor, defender, teacher. No single English word captures it fully. Literal meaning is to walk alongside another, to care for them, advocate them when they are being accused. But notice that Jesus says another advocate. That word another matters. It means another of the same kind. Whoever this helper is, the Holy Spirit, he is of the same kind as Jesus. The disciples already had an advocate, Jesus himself. They had walked with him, heard him teach, watched him perform miracles, seen his compassion, and Jesus says here, when I go, you will not lose my presence with you. Why? You will receive another like me. That tells us something profound. The Holy Spirit is not a force like something out of Star Wars. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal energy, nor simply a feeling. The Holy Spirit is a he, a person. Personal, divine, the same nature as Jesus, the Holy Spirit is God. A few verses later, we see in this passage the Father, Son, and Spirit working in unity. The Spirit sent by the Father at the request of the Son. John's helping us see the triune God, Father, Son, Spirit, drawing near. Can you see the intimacy that verse 20 captures? You are in me, and I am in you. Not distance, an indwelling presence. God himself with his people. And so immediately we're drawn into how do we respond to that. Jesus is speaking in this context to his immediate disciples, but that truth is important for us to wrestle with and engage. The Holy Spirit is not a concept to understand primarily, rather a person to engage. And so therefore, the question to help us consider as we think about who the Holy Spirit is do we depend on him? Do we consciously walk with him, desire to have a relationship with him? The Holy Spirit is divine, God, a member of the triune Godhead. And he desires us to draw near to him. having a living relationship with God through His Spirit, a Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that testifies to the truth about who Jesus is. Spirit is God, a helper, an advocate of the same kind as Jesus. But He's a person, desires a relational connection with us. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Let's consider the work of the Spirit. So firstly, in verses 18 to 21, we see that He comforts. I will not leave you as orphans. And that word orphan is powerful. It speaks of vulnerability, abandonment, exposure, and it's a word that isn't used much in the New Testament, only twice. Once here, and once in James's letters in chapter 1, verse 27. And the way it's used in James 1, 27 is showing how true religion, according to James, is caring for those who are the most vulnerable in the Old Testament, orphans and widows. What Jesus is saying here is remarkably profound. He's saying to His disciples, you will not be spiritually abandoned. Because as Jesus departs physically, as He leaves, heading out to Gethsemane with the cross looming in the background, Jesus is reminding His disciples that the Spirit is going to replace His presence within them. The Old Testament has promised a day when God would dwell with His people. Passages like Ezekiel 37, verses 26 to 27, foretelling a day when the living God would dwell with His people. And Jesus here is saying that day is arriving. And that's incredibly comforting for them. Not merely sentimental, but a reminder of the covenantal promises of God to His people. God Himself dwelling in His people. And just like these words bring comfort to the disciples that Jesus was speaking to, there's also a comfort for us. I wonder if some of us feel overwhelmed or maybe have a feeling of like being orphans in this world. Jesus is saying, you're not abandoned. I am with you through the presence of my Spirit. Second, we see here the work of the Spirit that the Spirit teaches. Verses 23 through to 26. Four times in this section, Jesus links love with obedience. Verse 15, 21, 23, and 24. Love for Jesus expresses itself in obedience to Jesus. But then look at the promise. The Advocate will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. The Spirit represents Jesus. He brings Jesus' words alive. He enables obedience. I think it's important that we note the order carefully. We do not obey in order to earn the Spirit. We receive the Spirit as a gift from Jesus, whom is sent by the Father. We receive the Spirit through Christ. And the Spirit enables our obedience. And I wonder if you're anything like me, sometimes you can have a picture in your head about who the disciples were and the way in which they saw these incredible things that Jesus did and were involved in such close proximity to Him in their ministry. But what the Gospels present really clearly is the way in which the disciples imperfectly strive to love Jesus. They made many mistakes. They doubted. They misunderstood. Peter denied Jesus. And yet these were the ones that were promised the Spirit. Why? Because they loved him. And there's this beautiful picture that we see in the book of Acts, ordinary people slowly transformed, growing in courage, growing in obedience, and growing in clarity. See, the Spirit's work in their lives, shaping and forming them to be more like Jesus. The Spirit, God's presence in his people, changes us from the inside out. I think this is helpful for us to be reminded of because Jesus' disciples, in his immediate context, those who he's speaking to in John 14, they remind us of things in our own lives. We're not perfect. Obedience can often feel hard. Growth sometimes feels slow. But remember, Jesus promises his Spirit to those who love the Lord Jesus, trust in him, and through Jesus' presence in us by his Spirit, we're enabled to grow in our obedience through our love of him. And so the encouragement is to walk in daily surrender, asking him to teach us and depending on him to shape us. And lastly, we see the Holy Spirit gives peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I did not give to you as the world gives. This is a reminder of the peace that the world gives is fragile, distinct, different, not enduring and lasting like the peace Jesus offers. In Jesus' day, the Pax Romana was maintained by military force. Jesus' peace is different. It's not the absence of trouble. Rather, it's the presence of Christ. And this enables us to be people who, amongst adversity and hardship, can be reminded of who Jesus is, how he's working through his Spirit in our lives, and this can lead to a settled heart in unsettling circumstances. This peace flows through the Spirit. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. That's only possible because the Spirit is present. Jesus isn't saying here, I'm going to remove the adversity and trouble that will come for you. He's saying amidst it, you can experience a peace knowing I am with you. Only because the Spirit is present. And it makes us consider things such as where is our heart troubled right now? It reminds us that Jesus' peace is not earned, it's received. And it's a great encouragement for us to see that Jesus' peace through his Spirit deepens in us as we daily surrender to him. Remember the story I started with about goodbyes. Jesus here is saying goodbye to his disciples. But the beautiful picture that we see being painted is that he's not leaving his disciples abandoned. He promises another advocate, God himself, the helper, the Spirit, to be his presence with his people. And that's going to lead to comfort in vulnerability, teaching that enables obedience, and peace that steadies troubled hearts. Not just memory, not just influence, but indwelling presence. The same Spirit given to those imperfect first disciples is given to us. And so the question becomes, are we living as if he is truly with us? Lean into him, walk with him, obey through him, receive his peace, because you're not alone. And the reminder from this passage is that you never will be, because of the gift of the Spirit to those who look to the Lord Jesus as the King and Saviour of this world and our lives. Let me pray. Gracious Father, we come before you now and we give you great thanks for the reminder in your word of your Spirit. Lord, thank you for the way in which your Spirit testifies to the truth of who you are, Lord Jesus. Please help us to be people who invite you in through your word and Spirit to shape, deepen, and impact our lives. Please help us consider the way in which we respond and think about you, Holy Spirit. And please help us to be reminded of that glorious truth that you, the living, all-powerful God, choose to dwell in us, an imperfect people, your presence living in us, enabling us to live in a way that honors you and brings you glory. And Lord, we just call out again this morning that we might be people who are dependent on your Spirit for all our needs. And we ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.